Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you. Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. The one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is the chief economist for the NFIB. NFIB.com is one of the places you can find his index, the NFIB's index for small business optimism. You can find it at the NFIB.com website. You can find it at smallbiz.org. smallbus.org, that's Bill's website, and he also allows us very graciously to post the site, the results of the survey of their research on our site, and so you can check it out there as well. Bill, let's move down and talk about some of the internals of your index. You've got 10 major elements. Hiring was virtually unchanged, you say, from July.
Yeah, but the July number was a good number. So if you kind of look at the historic path of this thing, when we overall on average add 0.2 of a worker per firm, that's a good number from the 43 history. And it'll take the BLS time to catch up with this, as it always does. Mm-hmm. They have lagged reporting, but anyway, so that was pretty good. Now, they reported about 160,000 jobs, and they'll revise that up. But I mean that was a good month, and of course job creation plans stayed high at 18%. We've been a little higher, but not much,
right?
Like a point or two higher, so right up at the top. That's good. Job openings did fall 4 points to 31, but both with 31 and 35 in July, those were like off the chart readings. And so we know that things are really tight in the labor market, especially for manufacturing firms and construction firms, where mm-hmm. in construction, 50% of the firms reported that they had a job opening that they couldn't fill.
Right. What a couple of questions on that part. The on the 160 jobs that we did last time. What do you think? Do we know anything about the internals on those? Were they burger flippers? Were they worker manufacturers? What did we know?
Well, manufacturing and construction did pretty well, actually. Professional services did a lot. There's always burger flippers, of course, but I'd say the internals were pretty good on that report, actually.
Right. By the way, nothing against burger flippers. I was one once, so I'm not.
I was too, man. No. I remembered taking the stone and scrubbing down that grill at Fire Tuck's Pantry.
Don't think either one of us are looking down our nose at anybody who flips a burger. That's one of the reasons my wife married me. She said she liked the idea that I was a short order cook at one morning time, Bill.
There you go.
So, okay. What about, I was going to ask you another question about the hiring. I've lost it there. What do you think about the technology? Are you seeing any kind of impact of technology on hiring? Do you think that 10 years ago, under the same circumstances, we'd have had 40,000 more jobs in the month? What do you think?
Well, I think that would probably be the case. There'd certainly be more. I don't know if it'd be 40,000 more. Technology rarely has a, huge visible effect. I mean, we see interesting things technologically, like, the iPhone and, the Apple stuff mm-hmm. comes out, and that's really cool, and we spend a lot of money on that stuff. But that has a minimal effect on employment at the time, because not many people, make that stuff. Then we all buy it and use it. And that's the hard thing to measure. We don't know what the real value is of an iPhone, for example, that in terms of what it contributed to your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that you had a GPS now in your phone and you didn't get lost all the time, you know,
right.
That's valuable. It increases your productivity, makes your time much more effectively used, but we can't, that's really hard to measure. So,
mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, employment, like at McDonald's, you know, they obviously are all using more technology.
Right.
And, by the way, also makes it possible to hire people with fewer qualifications.
That's definitely
affecting
hiring.
I mean, once you've got a technology that makes change and does all that stuff for you, you don't even have to have math skills in order to work there.
Right. I want to move over to capital spending because that's up 3 points. I like that.
Yeah, that was good. We like to see that. You know, capital spending is the key to raising worker productivity. I mean, education is important. We invest a lot of money in education. And then, you know, you can train people. That will raise their productivity.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, in many sectors of the economy, and more sectors because of the nature of technology now, the fact that we can use it in medical and in retailing and in food services, as the technology is introduced, you know, it raises worker productivity. And in the long haul, that's what makes it possible to pay people
right.
more, because if they make more per hour, if they produce more per hour, then we
right.
can pay them more per hour.
And Bill, I got 30 seconds, so I'm going to talk about sales because that's another high point in your research this week.
Yeah, sales were, well, three percentage point gain in the net percent of owners who are reporting higher sales, and that's really good. I think that's what's keeping optimism up. I mean, obviously Washington is not keeping optimism up, right? Because nothing's happening. So we still hope that we'll get changes in tax laws and health care.
Right.
And we don't know how good they'll be, but we know that whatever we get, it'll be better than what we had.
Better than what we got right now, absolutely.
Right.
Hold on to that thought. Bill Duckenberg and I will be right back. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Washington's impact on the economy and why you and I need more help. Sintel, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.